The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Hello and beyond, everybody. This is episode 798. I am Jada Griffin, and I am joined by my esteemed co-host, Akeem Lewanson.
Hello, Jada. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. And also, we're joined by ex-host, one of my best friends, Mr. Mark Medina.
I'm back. They tried to keep me down, but I'm back.
It was all me.
I wrestled my way back in.
It was all me. I was the one holding you down.
Yeah. I've been campaigning to be back on the show forever, and I wore them down.
We should have waited till at least episode 800. We're so close to getting you to episode 800.
That was the final straw. That was the only way I accepted Mark being back on the show, that it wasn't episode 800.
Yeah, it's giving me too much credit that anybody would even remember who I am. All the comments are just gonna be like, who is this guy? He's saying he's back. I've never seen him before. He definitely wasn't on the show for a whole year.
Definitely wasn't. Max and Brian are out today. They're handling some other stuff for IGN, so definitely keep an eye open for that. But while they're gone, I get to have some fun and take control and have some chaos in our show for Beyond, just like the old good old days.
Lord help us all.
Yeah. So today we're going to be talking about Sony and Xbox and Microsoft, about their various acquisitions. Sony just acquired Firewalk Studios, which brings them up to 24, which is about the same as Microsoft. They're both at 24. So we're going to talk about their rosters and see what their top dogs are bringing and maybe what some of the other ones are bringing. We're also going to talk some Horizon Burning Shores DLC, because that's out and fantastic, and I'm loving every minute of it. As well as God of War just celebrated its fifth anniversary for the 2018 reboot. So we're going to talk about that. Mark's got a fun story. He's promised
420,
that it's...
420, baby.
He's 420. He's promised that it's going to make everybody in the audience laugh, and if you don't, it's okay.
Nope.
It better make us laugh, Mark. Seriously, I also have like a little history for fans out there, God of War fans, that they're probably going to enjoy.
Nice. And then this episode is also going to be publishing a little bit later than our normal Tuesday. You're probably watching this Wednesday morning, because we're going to talk a little bit of Star Wars Jedi Survivor. So very excited to talk about that. And who knows, maybe some other surprises that we have got in store for you. So. Without a doubt, let's get it started. Let's talk about Sony acquiring Firewalk Studios. So Sony just acquired Firewalk Studios, and they haven't made anything yet, but they've come from another studio, and it looks like they're going to be working on some newer, bigger projects for Sony, namely a multiplayer project. And so I'm excited to see what that's going to be. The heads of the studio that are coming over are Tony Hsu, who was previously a CFO and SVP for Activision around the original Destiny, Black Ops, Modern Warfare 3, and the Skylanders franchise. And then also Ryan Ellis, who was the creative director for Destiny 2. He did some other like art and technical work for Oddworld, Strangest Wrath, Halo Reach. So they've got a pedigree of talent right there at the top that are coming over to the studio. And I mean, we got Bungie on the Sony team a little bit ago, which it just kind of seems like they're bringing all their friends and family over.
Yeah, I gotta say, Jada, I'm glad you actually gave us that tidbit of information, because, you know, when you go to the Firewalk Studios website, you know, and you click on the About Us, it says About Us and then Our Ambition. And then it's just creating worlds that ignite imagination and connection takes a collaborative team of top tier creators. And that, I need more. Like, I want to know who are these collaborative creators. So I'm glad you actually, you know, kind of just listed those out for us and their pedigree. So this definitely helps. I'm curious to see what they might be working on in the future for sure.
Yeah, I mean,
they didn't say that they were creating a world. They just said that that's what it takes.
Sony just bought them.
They're like, this is what we know. Can we do it?
Sony just like,
we'll see.
Firewalk Studios just sound like too cool of a studio name, and Sony's like, we need to buy them because that studio sounds cool. Yeah. Like, there's eventually going to be something cool out of that. Maybe, I don't know.
I assume this is part of their long-running plan to get a bunch of like live service games, right?
I imagine so. I think that, you know, the fact that they kind of mentioned multiplayer, the fact that they both have pedigrees around Destiny and Destiny 2, mm-hmm. that have been like a very long-standing and I'd say successful franchise. I feel like that's kind of where they're going, and that's why they're bringing in those kind of top dogs that are responsible for some of these franchises.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Maybe this is their answer to Call of Duty. They got some shooter talent on here. They're going to try to work on some sort of like reoccurring live service game, but who knows? We just know that they want to create a creative world. That's all we know so far.
I mean, like most game developing development studios, like they want to create like just a, you know, they want to build a collaborative team, and then they want to create like a very, you know, imaginative world. And we now this studio was acquired. So about like from the time that you're listening to this, it was a week ago that, you know, this news broke. And I remember I was telling you, Jade, I was like, now this brings PlayStation up to like 24 studios, which is neck and neck with Xbox in terms of the amount of studio acquisitions or studios that they currently own underneath their belt. And it's just, what's with this stick measuring competition that just keeps happening with these studios? You know,
it's something, you know, there's always a stick measuring contest between.
Yes, I'm being very, very PC here by saying stick measuring. Of course,
I don't know what you're talking about. Please elaborate further.
Mark, I'm sticks an innocent come boy. From trees. Sticks come
oh,
from trees.
Oh, right. Yeah, and you know. Trees try to, got it. Okay.
Trees are, you know, that's the big thing. That's the whole thing why forests are forests, because they're all trying to outgrow each other. That's just the way it works. Red.
I hate red. What was on the red. Screen right now.
Why?
I hate
why?
This. Why am I on this podcast? I did not ask for this.
I'm out. I guess I can't. I'm the host, but
this is why I left.
Right, for those just listening, we got a very, I don't know what game that was. I don't know if I could even say the name of that particular game that just flashed on our screen. Producer Red is tormenting us with genital. What is it called?
Genital jousting.
Yes,
that's a game that. Yeah,
that is a game that was made
to bring us back around. Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about like, okay, once the ABK deal goes through with Xbox, it's like, who do they acquire next? And it's like, I'm like, how about no one?
Yeah,
like, is it like, do they go after Capcom? Is PlayStation going to go after Square Enix? And I'm like, how about let's we just let, like, don't worry about that, and let's just like get some games out the door.
I 100% agree. So, but talking of studios they have acquired, so I built a list of the top five, in my opinion. This is my personal opinion for the top five. You guys can feel free to agree or disagree. We'll start with the Xbox side. So Xbox obviously has 343 Industries, which is known for Halo Infinite and the last couple Halos, which was, I believe was 5 and 4, were 343s.
Yep.
They also have Arkane Studios, which was part of the Bethesda ZeniMax deal, all that. Their most recent launches are Deathloop, or biggest launches, I should say, are Deathloop, Dishonored, and then we've got Redfall, which is just around the corner. Then there's Bethesda Game Studios, which is known for Fallout, Elder Scrolls, and, you know, a little gem called Starfield that's coming out in the hopefully in the near future. Id Software, which is known for Doom Eternal, and they're also working on a new project that's unannounced right now, so who knows what that's going to be. Rumors are that it's going to potentially be returning to Quake, but we'll see. And then finally,
I would assume it's going to be Doom 3 Eternal.
Doom 3
we'll
Eternal. If they're not, like, they need to pay you for that, Mark.
But I just assume it's going to be the third Doom game. Yeah. I can't imagine that they're going to stray from that right now, but we'll see.
Yeah. And then finally, Mojang Studios, which is Minecraft, and they also just released Legends and Minecraft Dungeons in the recent release through Windows. And that Minecraft's huge. Minecraft's everywhere. So like, those are top five. Anything else you guys think out of Microsoft? Do you think that would be better suited to be in their like top five of the roster? Do you guys?
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think that's solid. I mean, you got 343 on there, of course, Arkane Studios, Bethesda. I think this is pretty solid. I've never been huge into Minecraft, but you know, like you said, it's wildly popular amongst the kids. So this is a solid list. Id Software, yeah.
All right.
If it were a Mark Medina list,
yes.
I would probably remove 343 only because their track record on Halo has not been great. I'd probably replace them with Playground Games, which are the people that make Forza Horizon.
That was one of the ones that I was kind of on the fence between, because Forza Horizon has been so notable and has done so well, and Halo has done good, but it hasn't done great. So I totally agree with that optional for swapping that.
That's my, what do they call the honorable mention?
Your honorable mention. And so on the PlayStation side, we've got Guerrilla Games, which is the Horizon Zero Dawn franchise, which we just got the Burning Shores DLC. They also used to make Killzone. We know that there is, thanks to a off-the-cuff remark from somebody who just left the studio, that Horizon 3 is in the works, as well as Horizon Multiplayer is in the works. Those have all been rumored, and people have been expecting, especially after the ending for Forbidden West. But we got basically a lightweight confirmation from somebody who worked there. So next, we've got Insomniac Games, which is best known for their Marvel Spider-Man and Ratchet & Clank franchises, as well as they're working on the new Wolverine. And they used to make Resistance, which is a shooter I would like to see come back. Following that, we've got Naughty Dog, which has Jak and Daxter, which definitely needs a resurgence, Uncharted, and The Last of Us. And then we've got...
So we got a couple of dead franchises and The Last of Us.
Yep.
Oh, no, my camera froze.
No, that's what you get for slandering PlayStation on a PlayStation show, Mark.
Yeah, Mark has a very stern look on his face. He's really paying attention to this list.
I hope it might be something that keeps happening. So sorry to Producer Red. I'll keep an eye on it. And if I look like I'm frozen, I'll refresh my thing. I think my stuff's dying.
It's just the rain outside. That's all it is. It's the rain.
It is absolutely monsooning here in California. So yeah,
I honestly thought that terrible. Was a green screen.
it's a reflection off my window. That's a TV that is off and is just reflecting my window.
Fourth up, we've got Santa Monica Studio, who does a little game called God of War and God of War Ragnarok, whose most recent launches, and obviously all the previous God of War games. They also were instrumental in helping launch that game company with Journey back in the day. So a lot of pedigree and great stuff coming out of that. And then finally, my final pick is Sucker Punch Productions, which is known for Sly Cooper, which also needs to make a resurgence. Infamous, again, another resurgence, please, Sony. And Ghost of Tsushima, the most recent that we'll probably see a sequel to before we get a sequel or reimagining or anything for the other two that Sucker Punch is known for.
So two dead franchises and Ghost of Tsushima. Got it. Okay, we're good. I'm so sorry.
It was a very tough list to build because I knew Mark was going to be on the show and he was going to say that. But
if I get to do my own personal honorable mention, and they don't belong in the top five, but I just love them. One of my favorite studios of all time is Housemarque, so I'm like, I understand that it's hard to put Housemarque on. And I'm just gonna get a little fanboy. That's why that list had to have been hard to make, because man, they just have so many good studios that it's like, when I think of like a Housemarque, a studio I love, and it's like, but even that probably wouldn't crack the top, you know, five, because it's just, there's so many good ones.
I mean, I made a full list. I broke down all 24 studios for each. I put secondary. So on PlayStation side, there's also Blue Point, which has done those amazing remasters for Demon's Souls and Shadows of the Colossus. Media Molecule, which is known for Little Big Planet and Dreams. Polyphony Digital for Gran Turismo 7, San Diego, MLB The Show. X-Dev did Until Dawn, Detroit Become Human. And then Fire Sprite did Horizon Call of the Mountain, the DLC. And then Team Asobi, Astro's Playroom, one of our favorite PS5 games. Like, there's just so many great games. And then Xbox is the same thing. They have Double Fine for Psychonauts, Machine Games for Wolfenstein, Obsidian for Outer Worlds. They're working on Avowed, hopefully. You said Forza Horizon for Playground. Rare is doing Sea of Thieves, which is doing good. They have Tango Gameworks, Evil Within 2, Hi-Fi Rush, Ghostwire Tokyo, which there's just so many. Coalition Gears War. Like, there's so many games and so many studios.
I think it's hard to kind of decide one way or the other which has the best acquisitions or game studios, because underneath each and every one of those game studios, they've created some banger games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's more so like we would have to really do a deep dive, like break it down by the numbers, like how many units has each of these games sold, which would be an insane undertaking for anyone to do.
Yeah.
And kind of just base it on the numbers. Because if we're just talking about like our favorites, obviously, you know, we're going to lean one way or the other. And, you know, like we have favorites from the Xbox side and from the PlayStation side.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to say. So we'd have to do like a more like, you know, analytical breakdown, like just by the numbers,
maybe
we can
sure.
do on next episode.
Maybe we'll see. I don't like numbers unless they're like damage numbers in Final Fantasy.
Xbox kills it with the racing games though, because between Playground and Turn 10 with Forza versus Polyphony on Gran Turismo. Forza Horizon is just so good. So, I'm so sad. I'm always sad on the off year because it's like while I know that Forza Motorsport is like has this huge following and stuff, I'm like, I'm just over here waiting for Horizon 6. So. Yep.
So for me, the way I kind of look at these acquisitions is I feel like Sony is kind of owning like the big name, big production, like small, like lower number, but bigger names. And Microsoft, I feel, has a more rounded out roster to where like, you know, Sony's first string. I'm going to do some basketball references because it's basketball season. It's playoff season, baby. Their first string, Sony's first string, I think is a stronger first string when it comes to their launch their titles and that their IPs that they're known for. But when you start looking at the second string and the third string for as a whole for all their acquisitions, I think Microsoft has got Sony a little bit beat there. I think it's a little bit stronger. I think they're a little bit more well-rounded, and that's partially because of the Bethesda acquisition. They got so many studios under the Bethesda ZeniMax that really rounded them out, and I think that's really going to set them up for a lot of success in the future for with their Game Pass initiative and their strategy. So honestly, we're not talking about this stuff to like pick a side, one side's better than the other. They both have their merits, they're both awesome. Like, just play both consoles, guys. Like, have a good time, play games, they're fun.
But also, I would love to know what the audience thinks. I'd love to know what side they lean on, for sure. And you know, I don't just like you would think because this is a PlayStation podcast, we would just say like PlayStation all the way. But no, I mean like we got to give a fair, we got to decide this fairly, and it's, you know, like it's a toss up for me. Either side, like I mean, I play both my Xbox just as much as I play my PlayStation console, so it's just. You know, I don't know. This is a solid top five list that Jada picked, but I would love to know what top five our audience would have either side, both sides.
I agree. Please send those in. So after that, there's also, you know, so Sony has, you know, obviously been expanding more into the PC, and they've been seeing some increases on their games on Steam in certain regions. This is impacting Returnal, Mark's favorite Housemarque game, Marvel's Spider-Man. Horizon
that is
Zero
not
Dawn,
true.
And God
absolutely
of War
not.
All impacted. I'm putting words
Returnal,
in your mouth.
Returnal is great. My favorite Housemarque game is Nex Machina, followed very closely by Alien Nation. Returnal is pretty up there, though.
I like how Jada tried to sneak that in and keep it moving.
Nope.
Mark's like, I'm not about to let that
happen. I can't let that slide.
I'm trying to convert Mark to be a Returnal fan as much as I am.
No, I love Returnal, man. I think it's great. But Nex Machina is, man, it's like the it's one of the very, very close to that like perfect game status for me.
Nice.
Only one game is a perfect game, though. And I'll let the audience decide what that game is.
Just gonna find
out at the end of this episode.
Just gonna leave him hanging.
That's true. If we can remember, I'll circle back around and I'll tell you what the perfect video game is.
So we're seeing increases on the stores in Argentina, Canada, Chile, China, Colombia, Japan, South Korea, and they're seeing anywhere from looks like some of these increases are big.
Yeah, they vary too. Like in Canada, prices are up like $10, so that's like 17% increase. Yeah, mm-hmm. Japan 29%. Argentina, you can get God of War for $47. Spider-Man Remastered has doubled. Returnal has risen 67%, which is just insane in Argentina. This is in I guess the question that we have to ask is why? And again, this wasn't announced.
Yeah.
Like this mm-hmm. was not it was just snuck underneath the radar on Steam. Like we just see these increases in these countries and in these regions. I'm thinking I have a theory as to why this might be happening. And I'm thinking it might be like maybe PlayStation wants to tax the modding community.
Really?
Because I mean, think about it. Because look, instead of playing as Spider-Man, you could play as Shrek.
Yep. They're not loving Shrek in their games. You're gonna pay now.
Like you gotta pay a cost to Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like it's gotta be something, you know, pertaining to the modder community. Because like you can change these games vastly in aesthetics and however you want it to be if you're playing on your PC. So I don't know. I'm thinking, but you know,
I mean,
again,
it makes sense. We talked about this I think last week when we were talking about Meet Your Maker, and it's kind of that kind of you know, teaching a man to fish kind of situation. Like once you teach a man to fish, he doesn't come to your stall to buy fish anymore every morning. It's like mm-hmm. he's out there mm-hmm. getting his own fish. So. But yeah, so we're seeing that, you know, and Sony's no stranger to raising prices. We saw that with the consoles recently where they raised those in other regions. So mm-hmm. Hopefully.
Also, maybe PlayStation just secretly hates
other
gamers. You know, I mean, they did state that, you know, they're expecting to have like at least half of their game releases on PC by 2025. So I don't know. I feel like... I don't know. Maybe some people that work at PlayStation secretly hate this whole movement of putting their titles on PC. That's why we're seeing like, you know, The Last of Us. People are like dripping. They got like blocky, you know,
just
eyelashes.
Eternally
and
wet. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
It's very. You think it's very moist.
These are mistakes? Yeah. Exactly. I don't know if these are mistakes that are happening. I don't know. I think it's just like some secret hatred going on. With PC games, they're trying to force you to just go out and buy a PS5. They're in stores now.
That is true. They are in stores. I've seen like scalpers are starting to sell PS5s at a loss because like they're just so readily available. They're like, well, I've got these 500 PS5s. I guess I should probably sell them for something instead of just sitting on them.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah. But yeah. No. I mean, I agree with your point, Akeem. If you're waiting to play PlayStation's best games on PC, I mean, that's kind of on you. If they come out and they're not as good as they are on PlayStation, go. Buy a PS5 and play it on PS5. Sorry, this is my opinion.
Oh boy, here we go. God, what are we doing?
I'm going to get so much hate for it, but I don't care. We're not, it's the best
games,
way to play it.
The games that release on PC should be working. That said, I think The Last of Us was blown a little out of proportion because I've definitely seen some bugs, but you know that something is an online problem when, you know, and this isn't a knock on you, Akeem. This is you've seen that screenshot of Ellie with the giant eyebrows and mm-hmm. like Joel with the like he's looking like Eugene Levy from from Schitt's Creek.
That's a great comparison.
As mean. I'm sorry. Those are the only screenshots I've seen.
Yeah.
Right. It's, and it's that's how you kind of know that it's like those went viral, and it's because I played The Last of Us on PC for a work thing. I played the first 3 hours. I didn't experience a single bug. Now, I don't love when people are like, well, it works fine for me, so all of these other people aren't really having... That's not true. Obviously, the game's been having problems. We've seen them. They're like, they swirl around the car and stuff like that, but it's like, I can only think of a few instances where the game has been like... severely messed up, and those just get spread wide, and people are like, look at this garbage, this game is terrible. But yeah, I think the PC versions should be good, but also like, yeah, I don't know what's going on. But it was just The Last of Us. I think Spider-Man has been completely fine.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure. It's definitely
I haven't seen any complaints about that.
Yeah, it's definitely a blown out of situation, and obviously we're just having fun. People love to you know,
I'm surprised Ghost of Tsushima isn't on PC. They must be waiting for the next game.
Oh, for sure. It's going to be, it's a marketing thing. It's, they're going to wait for it to drum up more hype on it when Tsushima 2 drops. So,
and then Horizon Forbidden West will come to PC when the show gets a trailer and all that.
Exactly.
Stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. It's all part of the marketing machine. All right.
Yeah, just to throw this out there real quick. People are also doing, like, you know, comparisons of, like, you know, how long it would take, like, the shaders to compile. For The Last of Us as well. Yeah. So it wasn't just like those images that you know, people were talking about, like the performance and, like, you know, the loading time and everything. Mm-hmm. So, which
they did take a long time to compile when I did. I think it took like 15 minutes, which is like kind of an egregious amount of time to like sit on your menu. And I think that's where a lot of people's issues were coming from, was
they just didn't wait,
not letting them
minutes.
Compile, and they were just jumping into the game. And so it's like, yeah, I kind of agree that the shaders compiling like did suck. Yeah. That part I'll agree with. I was the game installed, and I'm just like, okay.
We'll take that, PC gamers. You heard it here. Just get a PS5, seriously. All just right. get a freaking PS5.
Just get a PS5. Mark, you've been playing a bunch of the Burning Shores DLC. Is it too hot to handle? Is it tempered? Is it lukewarm?
I think it's a completely fine temperature to handle. No, I think it's... I've been playing two PlayStation 5 games this weekend. One of them is a stunning showcase of what the PlayStation 5 can handle. It is a beautiful game, and I can't believe it's a real game. And the other one we'll talk about later. but no, I thought Burning Shores was very good. It's more Horizon, right? Like, it's more of that. It's a complete continuation of where Forbidden West, left off. It's one of those, like, I don't want to say rare because I don't know how rare it is, but it's one of those DLCs where you have to have completed the main game, which wasn't the case for Frozen Wilds and Horizon Zero Dawn. You only had to be about maybe halfway, maybe a little over halfway, and it was like this side story. This one, you have to have completed the main game, and they give you a good reason for that. I wouldn't say this is a criticism, but it's really, really short. Like, you could probably beat it in one sitting if you were just like, I'm just going to beat this. It's
if
like
you just mainline
missions.
It, just mainline the story. Yeah.
Yeah. It's super short. I don't want to say any spoilers because it's like, because it's so short, it's worth jumping in and just kind of like getting through it. But it's like, you do get a new weapon, you visit a new area, you meet new people. It's more of the Quen people, which you'll remember from the first game.
From
Forbidden West. But like the main thing is just like, man, I cannot believe how gorgeous Horizon is. Like every time you don't play it for a while and you jump back in, you're just like, man, how is this game real? And this game, they have a very, well, they kind of show it in the trailer. They have a story reason for why you don't get to fly at first, which I kind of love because I hate when you venture into a new area and you get to just fly over everything. Well, the Warcraft does that too. They always find a reason to take away your flying mounts when you like do the first, you know, when a new expansion drops, because they don't want you just flying over all the content they build. And so in this game, they have you actually riding around on and piloting a skiff, which is, you know, like a little boat. And it's super cool because, for one, the boat, if you look at it, I love the world of Horizon, and you see all these creative ways that these people have like created machines out of, or, you know, created, you know, vehicles and stuff out of like machine parts. It's always fun to see it. But also, like, it puts you right there in the water, and the water in Forbidden West is like really, really gorgeous water, but you really never have a reason to see it. You know, you go to like lakes and stuff like that, but I mean like the actual ocean. And so in this game, you're sailing around because it's split up between like different islands. It's more Horizon, which is great because I love Horizon, is all I can say. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, I'm still very early into the DLC, but I'm always just taken aback, like you said, by like just getting into this world and how gorgeous it is. And honestly, I think it's like a real shame they didn't win more art awards. Like, I feel like Horizon has the best art direction for any of the Sony franchises, personally, in my opinion. I think all of their franchises, Sony franchises, and kind of, you know, circle back a bit, I think they all nail something amazingly well. And I think Horizon's thing is that open world and art direction. I think it's, and their side characters. I think they do the best job with side characters and side stories. I think they are hands down the best in it. I think God of War is the best when it comes to like a core story as well as the action. And then you got, as well, that's, you know, up there also with, and then Last of Us is like, has the best, like, if you look at a story on its own, The Last of Us is the best story franchise for PlayStation, me personally. And then Ghost of Tsushima kind of blends it all and does all of them. It's like the jack of all trades and does everything very well.
Ghost of Tsushima is just perfect. It's just the best game.
It's the best of everything.
Every time I look at, you know, gameplay footage of this, it makes me want to jump back into the game. But I'm kind of stuck on a certain part. I've almost completed the game, but I'm stuck at a certain part. The world is so massive. I'm confused. I don't know where to go. But I want to ask, because I know you both are completionists when it comes to games. So I'm kind of curious, for someone that's like more of a casual variety gamer like myself, some people that are probably watching this. So it's been, you know, numerous months since I've actually, you know, played Forbidden West and got, you know, completed it. I really want to play the DLC. I already have a code. It's just sitting there in my inbox somewhere, just being buried by other emails. Do you think this DLC is worth me jumping back into Horizon Forbidden West, completing it to play? Because as you said, Mark, it's super short. It's only like a few missions in this DLC. But do you think it's worth it for someone in my particular position as a gamer?
I mean, yeah, especially since, you know, being on the show, as we all know that, yeah, you got the game for free. You said you have a code sitting in your thing. It's absolutely worth jumping in to
don't tell
play this
everyone.
For those out there, though, who may not have gotten a code, who probably didn't get a code to get this DLC for free, I think it is. I still think it is as well.
Yeah,
I think it's totally fine to kind of just mainline and golden path the story through Forbidden West and see everything that is to be seen, get all the new gadgets and stuff, because Horizon almost did this like very light level of Metroidvania in Forbidden West, where you'll get certain tools and like, oh, now I can go back to this cave and I can dive further underwater and actually fully explore it. And so it's actually probably the better way. Like, I did not play Horizon Forbidden West the most optimal way. I literally tried to do everything on my way as I was going through the campaign. And I would realize, I was like, oh, I'm 3/4 of this through this like cave and I can't get to the last quarter because I don't have this upgrade. So it's kind of better to just mainline path it and get all the upgrades, get all the stuff, do the DLC, get those bonuses and all the new really cool gear, and then go back and do the side stuff once you're more invested in the story. I think once you're more invested in the story, the side stuff becomes even more impactful for you. I ran into a side quest that has an NPC, and I won't say his name, but was originally in the Frozen Wilds DLC and I found him in the Burning Shores DLC, and by far one of my favorite side quests. Like, it literally brought me to tears. Like, that, it was such a powerful moment, and I highly recommend that stuff as well. So,
plus, if you play Burning Shores, you get to hang out with Seika, and Seika is awesome.
Yeah,
she's cool.
She's very cool.
What's cool is once you get over there, they have like gear that you get very early on that kind of, I wouldn't say instantly replaces any of your old stuff, but it's new gear that you can wear. I know it was footage from the review, and I'm like, did they get my footage somehow? Because like, that's literally the outfit I'm wearing, because that's an outfit you get like right when you start.
I would say some of the gear, like the beginning gear you can get at the DLC, will replace like basic gear or like the epic purple tier gear that you get throughout the main story of Forbidden West. But if you did like the trials and the arenas, I'm still using a lot of that gear, because a lot of that gear is like that legendary rating, and it has a lot of good stuff. But I'm replacing a few of those with Burning Shores, because some of that stuff is better. But I've gotten that through side quests. So like, Horizon does a really good job of rewarding you for going off the beaten path. So...
yeah, if you got the, what is it? It's like the Oseram Artificer gear or something like that.
Yep.
Yeah. That's probably not going to get replaced too early, but Akeem, I don't think you have to worry about that. I think you're probably fine.
Yeah. I got a really cool rope caster, which is the one that can tie down the creatures, called the Ties That Bind. And I was like, this is the best name for a rope caster ever. I'm never going to replace that.
That is a cool one.
That is a very cool one. And, you know, bonus points for anybody in the comments can tell me what game that was a subtitle from. Don't say it if you guys know it on the show.
You do get a new weapon, so that's worth jumping in for. It's kind of cool, so I assume maybe we'll see more of that in the third game. And But yeah, I would say just like visually, it's kind of cool. Like, you know how it is, like in Forbidden West, you'd see like San Francisco. So you'd see, you know, Golden Gate Bridge and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And you're like, oh, that's cool. That has that kind of same effect in this where it's like you see, you walk right past the Hollywood sign and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And stuff like that's pretty cool. But yeah, the game overall is just gorgeous.
So
yeah, in the footage that we showed, the review footage, I'm pretty sure I saw like my neighborhood where I'm currently living in Los Angeles, which is kind of weird. I saw the cross streets.
I would just I would just recommend not living there in a, you know, in the future during this time frame. Post-apocalyptic world, yeah, it doesn't look, doesn't, it's not.
See, that's, I live right there, what we're looking at right now. I live in that complex.
That rounded complex, interesting.
You might need to pull some weeds. Yeah. It's looking rough.
So, you know, Horizon, you know, Forbidden West came out. It did really well, but I feel like it's had a little bit less steam than we got when Zero Dawn dropped. And, you know, obviously people say, oh, you know, the first one dropped after Breath of the Wild, and then the second one dropped after Elden Ring, or right before, excuse me. And so, like, it got kind of overshadowed. What does the Horizon game, what does the Horizon franchise need for the sequel? What does it need? What elements does it need to bring fans back and make this, like, the big title that everybody's talking about on Sony's side?
Well, I mean, I think like the main thing, I think we all can agree on this. The thing that kind of brings us back to any game after we've completed like the story is co-op. I feel like that would be the thing that would bring, because now we can play with our friends. You know, I feel like that's an element that I would love to see in Horizon 3. If are we actually getting a Horizon 3? We don't, we have like a soft confirmation. So. Yeah. It's not a firm confirmation, but I feel like,
we have two soft confirmations.
Yeah, we have two soft confirmations.
The first one being the ending of Forbidden West.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. The ending of it does very heavily lead itself towards a sequel for it to make it a trilogy. So I don't think anybody who finished the campaign was surprised when those remarks came out. And I mean, Aloy has been building up a large stable of friends that mm-hmm. she keeps giving focuses to, and she's training them all how to use the focus. So, I mean, we know there's a potential multiplayer project on the works, but we don't know what that looks like. But I agree, co-op, I think, would be a big one. I think I saw online a lot of people get kind of bogged down by the grind in Horizon, especially Forbidden West. I feel like some felt that the grind was a little too sloggy. So I think kind of maybe streamlining some of those, or increasing EXP boosts, or I don't know, maybe changing how the skill system works. Like, I would have loved for, as I use melee combos, for me to either unlock them with like expertise or for them to get improved based on usage. So I would love to see that kind of like improvements to the gameplay, because there's certain weapons that I just don't use. I don't like the warrior bow. I don't like the short range of it. And I just, it's weird. But I love like the hunter's bow. I love the sharpshooter bow. I love sniping dinosaurs from afar. It's just what I do. And so like that's one of the big improvements for me, is I think I would really like to see some just kind of like empowerment to the gameplay system, because the gameplay is great. I love the combat in it, but I think it can still be improved. Just because something is great doesn't mean it can't be improved. So I think that's my big thing that I would like to see.
This episode of Podcast Beyond is brought to you by NordVPN, a great way to protect yourself online while also improving your overall experience while enjoying cyberspace. Are you tired of streaming shows, movies, or sporting events being unavailable in your region due to draconian restrictions that are based on completely arbitrary geographical boundaries in physical meat space? Well, switch your virtual location to a place where that's no longer an issue. The same goes for shopping. You can get the best possible deal on subscriptions, flights, hotels, and other goods and services like that from websites that like to play favorites with certain territories and currencies. Meanwhile, encrypted traffic protects your data from hackers, viruses, malware, phishing sites, and other harmful hitchhikers of the information superhighway. Though really, it's more of an information autobahn, because there is no speed limit with NordVPN. It is the fastest VPN in the world, so there won't be any buffering or lagging, and it'll stop your ISP from throttling your bandwidth. Isn't that nice? One NordVPN account can be used across 6 devices, which is great. My wife has been using our account to watch all sorts of awful British reality TV shows that aren't available here, like Argument Island or Half Naked Idiots Fall in Love, and everyone's favorite, The Worst People Just Got Married, Let's Hear Them Talk About It. Shows that are so bad they're blocked in our part of the world for our own good, but luckily, NordVPN allows her to trick the internet into thinking she's in the UK, so she and her awful friends can shriek and howl and cackle at the TV while I'm trying to relax. I've been using my VPN too. You know what I've been using it for? None of your business. Yep, that's right. And thanks to NordVPN, my data is safely encrypted, all bundled up in a weighted security blanket of incomprehensibly complex math problems, and nobody can tell what it's doing under there. Data, you do your thing. I'll leave you alone. 1 month of NordVPN coverage costs less than a cup of coffee. Coffee can't protect you from cybercriminals unless you throw it at them or pour it on their computers, and you'll probably get in trouble for doing that. So get NordVPN instead. To get the best possible discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/pobeyond. That link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, that is nordvpn.com/pobeyond. And now, back to the show.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Yeah, I would also say I want to see like more expansive like underwater combat. I feel like there's not, I mean, like, When you're diving underwater, it looks so beautiful. I would definitely love to see. Obviously, I'm not thinking that it's going to be as robust or detailed as like, you know, land combat. But I feel like I would like to do more than just like kind of like sneaking up and performing attacks.
Hiding in kelp.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, I want to be able to do more. Since they allow you to explore deep underwater, I feel like that's something that we should definitely see more in the third. I mentioned this. Off air, I'll mention it on air now on the podcast. Weather mechanics. I feel like we see, you know, hot blistering heat. We see snow, but there's no real like you know, impact that we see on like the machines. Like maybe, you know, the machines that we see them start to frost over or something. Like if you're flying one of those mechanical birds, maybe their wings are starting to kind of like, you know, freeze up or something. So we need to like land somewhere to kind of like, you know, heat them up or something, or you're they're rusting about, in the heat.
So you're talking about what's like that? You're talking about like the machines that you can mount and stuff like that, like the
yes,
sun wings
exactly.
And like our
exactly.
Gosh, what are the? I can't remember the ground ones.
In Horizon, there's like 4 of them.
Yeah, I haven't ridden one of those in so long. Since I got the sun wing and I can just summon that, I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Why would I run when I can fly?
Yeah. Why? I think what you were saying about the focus thing, I kind of hoping that that's leading to something. They did it a little bit in Forbidden West, where you had your home base. You didn't really have that in the first game. And it's like, as you met people, you would send them to your home base. I would like the home base to be a little bit more than just a place to talk to people. Like maybe
you want to be able to upgrade it and do like all types of like refurbishments.
Yeah, I
kind of
want it to
like
be
that.
Like what's a, you know, Ravensthorpe or whatever from Assassin's Creed Valhalla, like something that you can actually like build up and rank up and have a reason to send people there. Something else is they toned up the climbing a lot in Forbidden West compared to the first game. The first game is very, very limited. In this game, it's more free. But I think we should make it
You want Breath of the Wild level of climbing.
I want Assassin's Creed level of climbing.
Okay.
You know, being able to just climb more things. And then next, this is probably going to be, we'll see. I was instantly reminded playing Burning Shores just how much talking is in this game.
There is a lot, yes.
So you're talking, you... The first thing you do is you go and you talk to Silence. And then the screen does this really cool effect that I love, but got over very, very quickly in Forbidden West, which was, you know, the character will be talking and then it'll kind of do that like zoom out thing. And it'll put a little bit of like, you know, I don't remember what it's called, but you know, it's like they put the black edges around it. And that's when you can start doing your dialogue options. And you know, yeah, the vignette. There it is. And it's like, you don't want to skip that stuff, but at the same time, there's just way too much of it.
That's one thing that can really kill the pacing for a game.
Yeah, well, you'd go back to the base and everybody would have a dialogue option. And I'm just like, come on, dude. And so it's like, you talk to Silence, you get all this like stuff, and that's great. And then you go to the Burning Shores, and then you learn some story stuff, and then Seika's like, okay, we should probably go. But first, is there anything you want to ask me? Zoom out vignette. And I'm like, come on, dude. I just want to play this game. Like, what are we doing? But you can't skip it because it's all important stuff. And I'm like, ugh.
I agree. I think if these people have focuses, they can obviously communicate via focus. Let me have these conversations while I'm traversing. Let me fly on a Sunwing and talk to people while I'm getting to my next destination. Let's just kind of like, you know, taxi
cab. It's one of those just like, it's one of those just like optional but not optional situations.
Yeah.
Those dialogues are optional, but are they? Because like there's so much context in them.
Right. Yeah. It's important. It's all important too. What's so weird, Mark, I felt the same way playing Horizon, but I'm kind of like, what is it about? Like, I didn't feel that same way when I played God of War and God of War Ragnarok. Like I didn't feel that same way. So I'm kind of curious, like, what is it about like certain games that make you want to skip? Like, I was like, I don't want to hear all of this. I just kept skipping, and then I got to the option. Shit, I probably should have leaped that out. Poop, I probably should have listened to what was just said because I don't know what option I should pick. I don't know what it is like about certain games that just kind of make you want to skip the dialogue as opposed to like, you know, other games.
With Horizon specifically, I think it comes down to, specifically for Forbidden West, is every like area is this new like group of people with their own problems and backstory, like the Wings of the Ten and the you know, the giant rock, the bulwark, or whatever it was called.
Yeah.
And it's like you want to figure out why these people like worship the things they worship, and who are all these people. And it's like, you, there's so much just like story there, because you just get put in a world where the God of War, it's like the story is, you know, I don't mean this in a bad way, but it's more linear. You're just kind of, you're following a path. You have like this very specific goal. Where with Horizon, Aloy is just constantly meeting with groups of people. You go to Vegas and these people have all this like backstory on like, to you, you know it's Vegas, but Aloy doesn't know it's Vegas. And so you got to figure out what they think Vegas means and all that stuff, and it's just, so
is she just there wondering why people are gambling, like losing their life savings or something? Like,
she's like, what is roulette? What? I'm gonna just say, guys, the odds seem stacked against you.
My focus is saying that you're not gonna win this round.
The house always wins.
Put it all on black right now.
I mean, those are just a few things I think that Horizon can improve upon, that we think that Horizon can improve upon in the inevitable sequel. It's it's been doing well enough. I feel it got a DLC. I feel like they're going to continue the franchise. So
yeah.
You talked a little bit of God of War. God of War celebrated its fifth anniversary. It's from the 2018 reboot.
Woo!
On 420. Just blaze, baby.
420, just, baby. Yeah, just blaze just with blaze. Those. Yes.
I don't get it.
Those chaos blaze.
Those chaos blaze.
We call it chaos blaze. That's a new strain.
The blaze of chaos.
The blaze of chaos. Now
that's brilliant. That's brilliant. I don't care who you are. That's great.
So as of November 2022, last year, this one had sold 23 million sales, according to their internal like findings and stuff like that. I can't remember whatever memo they put out, their financials. Ragnarok, as of February 1st of this year, has sold 11 million copies. So it's already about halfway there. And Ragnarok's only been out for what, 6 months now, 7 months? Came out in September, something like that. What's time? 8 months? I don't know. It's time. I mean, God of War is massive. Obviously, we're doing new things. How long do you guys think it's going to take for Ragnarok to catch the 2018? Do you think it's going to take the 5 years for Ragnarok to get there? Because, I mean, obviously,
lot of games.
It is a lot of games. And obviously, like, sales aren't going to be as strong now as it was at launch. Obviously, it's like, you imagine sales are going to slow down a bit. We just got the new game plus, the new God plus mode, as I like to call it, and I'm sure there might be some more stuff on the table that they're working on at Sony Santa Monica. But you know,
eventually come out with a PC version as well.
True. Right?
And that'll boost the sales. I don't know anything about game sales, because I don't care how games sell, but yeah. I assume that every PlayStation 5 bundle that was bundled with Ragnarok also
includes
counts
a sale.
As like a
I believe so.
Ragnarok sale.
Mm-hmm. So,
which that is like, I think one of the only ways to get a PS5 nowadays. I don't know if it's still, I know it was like a few months ago.
So, let's just ballpark it. Let's say, Mark, how long do you think, how many years do you think until they, till like Ragnarok catches up or surpasses 2018?
I don't think it will. I don't think it'll hit the sales that the first one hit. No, because just like Forbidden West, just like Tears of the Kingdom, sequels are great and they're highly anticipated and they sell really well, but they don't take over the world like the first game does, right? Like when God of War came out, I don't think anybody, I think a lot of people did, but like God of War was a franchise, right? Mm-hmm. Ending with Ascension, and then it got rebooted into God of War 2018. I know it's a continuation of the story, but it is more or less just a reboot. And that just caught so many people off guard. Everybody needed to play this game when it first came out in 2018. And then, you know, same with Breath of the Wild and Horizon. Like the Killzone people are making this like open world, you know,
game about hunting
giant mechanical
dinosaurs? Like, what?
Yeah, it piques people's interest in a way that, like, everybody has to jump in. And then Breath of the Wild, hearing about its freedom and its lack of dungeons and you know, just hearing everything about this game, you're like, whoa, I have to see this. And it's so hard for a sequel to... I don't want to say, like, I don't mean in the way of, like, I think Forbidden West is a better game than Zero Dawn. But that doesn't mean
that's going to translate to sales.
That would translate to sales. And so I think a lot of people would probably say that Ragnarok is better than 2018. But, like, does that necessarily translate into sales? I don't know. Because that same hype isn't there. People that are excited for 2018 are just as excited for Ragnarok. But it's not, I don't know how many new people it's bringing in. Probably a lot, but not enough to surpass the first one.
It's also just a generation apart from each other. I feel like if you look at like the Resident Evil franchise, they have like what eight titles
in 8,000 titles,
eight mainline titles, and yet Resident Evil 5 is the highest selling Resident Evil game in that franchise. Believe it or not. So I mean. I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of different factors that could play into it. But to Mark's point, I honestly don't. I believe Ragnarok to be better than the 2018 title, but I don't know if it's going to if there's enough groundbreaking stuff in it to truly surpass its predecessor. I don't know. It's kind of hard to say. I'm not going to say that it won't at least meet that at some point in time, but it's kind of hard for me to put a ballpark onto it.
Okay. I think it's I'll be the one I'll bite the bullet. It was my question. I think it's gonna do it in 4 years. I think it's gonna do it a year sooner.
4 years. Okay.
I think we'll probably get the PC version in probably 2 to 3, and that will help jumpstart a lot of sales. I think we're gonna see it in bundles constantly and get a lot more sales through bundles because there's gonna be a lot more PS5s going out because Sony is upping production. I think we're gonna see it in about 4 years. Is my guess. Now, Mark, before we move on, you said you had a good story about God of War 2018 that
we hyped it up as the funniest story ever. And it's just,
ever.
Oh boy,
it's just a story. No, don't put the camera on me. I like
screen.
It when it's on all three of the people.
This story. This is yours, Mark.
It's not that great of a story. Basically, what happened was no. Go back. I don't like this red. I'm just switching the show. So, Akeem, you never worked in the San Francisco office. I hate you.
No.
You never worked in the San Francisco office. Jada, you never did either, but you're very familiar. I'm pretty sure you were there more than me. in the 5 years that I worked in that office, and the way it was set up was. You know, everybody could see what everybody was working on. And so being on the gameplay team, we were like kind of always the first people to like, it was us and Wikis were the first people to get the game like first. And so it would create crowds of people that would come and they would have to watch the new game. That's when everybody saw me kill my horse in Red Dead Redemption 2. That cliff came out of nowhere is all I'm going to say. The entire office was like, oh, and I'm like, Cliff came out of nowhere. So God of War 2018 comes out and I'm playing, and you know, every day there would be people just kind of circled around just being like, yo, this game's great. Well, we all know that halfway through that game, this very awesome moment happens where you ride on a boat and then you get the Blaze of Chaos. And the moment I got the Blades of Chaos, the moment he picks them up and pulls them out of the room, I reach over and I turn my PlayStation off. And I was like, I'm not allowed to play this anymore in the office. Like, you guys, everybody who now even glimpses at my screen is going to get a spoiler. Mm-hmm. And so I went and like talked to my boss, and they're like, yeah, you have to go. We had these in the San Francisco office. We had these capture bays where it was just, you know, a closed off room that had a door that, like, you know, and so I had to like print out a thing basically being like, if you come in here, you're going to get spoiled. Because back then, everybody knows them now, but back then, if you looked at somebody's screen and you saw the Blades of Chaos on his back, that was a huge spoiler and this like huge moment ruined for you. And so that was one of the only times I can remember ever doing that in that office, just basically being like, okay, I can't play this game in public anymore because you're going to get spoiled.
What's so weird, because I've heard stories about this, Mark, from other people, you actually still spoiled it for people, because on that sign, you actually said, don't come in here, Blades of Chaos in hand.
Yeah, you're going, in here, you're going to see the Blades of Chaos. Yeah, and then like, people were like, Mark, what are you doing?
Yeah, I tried to scribble it out, apparently, but yeah, people could still see it said, what's... Mark.
Well, and I was gonna print out a new sign, but we were out of printer paper that day. Yeah. San Francisco prices, you know,
it's
got to do what you got to do. So yeah, but yeah, that was. I don't know. That's kind of what makes it kind of a special game, is this thing where it's like, yo, this moment is so good that like a whole office full of people, I was like, I cannot spoil it for you. You need to be able to see this on your own, because like it's too good.
It's mm-hmm. a real special moment. Yeah. Like, honestly, I would have hate to have been spoiled on that. Like, it was, because I mean, like, especially if you're a longtime fan of the God of War franchise, it's just like all those memories just come rushing back. And it's just the fact that they connected it all. It's, you know, it's just mm-hmm. it's such a beautiful moment.
Yes. So,
yeah.
Yeah. You see Athena and all that. Like, yeah, it's super, super good.
Yeah, it's great.
So yeah, that date, you know, April 20th, I mean, it holds a lot of significance, you know, to, you know, more than just the stoners, gamers alike as well. But it's also more symbolic than you all might think in relation to Norway, Scandinavian history. Obviously, God of War takes place in ancient Scandinavia, Midgard. Little known fact, though, I'm going to tell y'all, little known fact, Norwegian Vikings cultivated cannabis between the years of 650 and 800 AD, believe it or not. Yeah. Before they would pillage, you know, a small village, they'd sit around a campfire, you know, throw some hemp into said campfire, and then they'd forget why, you know, they were there in the first place, and then they'd just proceed to celebrate their victory with mead. After the weed, they'd just hit the mead. So, you know, to honor that exaggerated fact, I think we all should just light one up and pour one out.
No, Akeem.
For the fifth anniversary of God of War, boys. Where's my? Oh, damn it! It isn't on. Never mind. I was gonna turn on my. I have a smoke machine here.
That's all right. Well, Red will add it in.
Add in the special effects.
That's the great thing about Podcast Beyond. You get to like hang out with your PlayStation friends. You get a history lesson. This podcast has got it all.
You believe that the everything. Vikings never actually pillaged. They were it's just, got, they got...
It's got peer pressure. It's got everything.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, shout out to God of War for celebrating 5 years.
Yeah, definitely. Looking forward to what's next on the plate from Sony Santa Monica. Where is Kratos going next? Hopefully there's also some hemp. Speaking of other big franchises that go places, Star Wars Jedi Survivor is upon us. If you're watching the show, our review is live. You'll have to go and check it out to see what score we gave it, because I'm not going to tell you here. I'm not going to scoop our review. But
18.
Our reviewer, 18, yes, 18, 100%. There you go.
18 out of 10.
18 out of 10. Dan Stapleton is going to love this podcast, because that's how numbers work. The big thing out of it, though, for those of us who are waiting to download it, or who maybe, I don't think preload's begun, it might have, the install size is massive for Star mm-hmm. Wars Jedi Fallen Survivor. Fallen Survivor? Star Wars Jedi Survivor.
The Fallen Survivor.
The Fallen Survivor. Cal Kestis is back.
Did he fall? Did he survive?
He's fallen many times.
You'll have to play to find out.
He's fallen many times. The thing is, though, as Jedis, you always get back up as a Jedi. Always.
Oh, okay.
Jedis never say die.
It's not how Revenge of the Sith ended, but okay.
The install size on PS5 comes in at 147.577 gigs. That's larger than Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, most of the Final Fantasy games, MMOs like Destiny. Destiny 2 is kind of an MMO. It is Mass Multiplayer Online. And that means it's also 100 gigs more than Fallen Order. That means it is... Like, what is that, 100% more, 200% more?
And that's if we don't even know if there's supposed to be like a day one patch or something like that. It might be even bigger. It might have doubled, and his powers have grown twice. They've doubled since they last met.
it's massive. I mean, I'm hoping those extra 100 gigs at least gets us another 100 stormtroopers to slice through. But, you know, who knows?
Maybe.
Who knows where they're spending that 100 gigs at? You know, maybe it's that extra lightsaber that Cal's carrying around. Who knows?
Yeah.
That's just too much memory. I don't know. I'm not a fan of that.
I mean, that memory. What, like, I think with our PS5s, we get like 683 or something like that out of the box after like all the system installs and stuff out of the 1 terabyte it starts with. Right?
Yeah.
That's a quarter of your hard drive for Star Wars, which it looks fantastic. It looks great. It looks bigger. It's expanded in almost every way from all of our previews and IGN first that we've done on it. It looks fantastic. But, I mean, that is still a lot of hard drive space. So, start finishing games and deleting them off your hard drive now so that you're not having to do that while you're waiting on launch.
Or buy an expansion SSD. They're like insanely cheap right now.
That is true. But you know me, Mark. I play too many games. I have a 2 terabyte in there. That sucker's full. That sucker is full as well. So I'm literally going through my hard drive looking for what I can delete.
This is why. This is why I hate technology today. I miss the old days of technology with the memory cards.
Memory cards.
I sound like a boomer right now. I miss memory cards. You know, remember back in my day, you know, I the old days of PlayStation 2 where you could just plug in an 8 megabyte memory card. I used to love those days. And you could also just pop it out and you can transport it in your video game case, take it to your friend's house. Like these days, you know, given, you know, the many caveats and roadblocks that we seem to run in, especially with this upcoming game, I can't just do that anymore. I'd have to either have the game saved on an external hard drive, transport it to my friend's house, have him sign out of his account, me sign into his PS5, download the base game onto his console if he doesn't already have it installed, and queue up my file save from there. And all I want to do is just game. I mean, why did PlayStation take the memory card accessory away from us in the first place? For improved technology to advance in gaming, to advance in the gaming space? Do we need that? Do we really need that? To give us more than a maximum of 128 megabytes? That was all I really needed. I was quite fine with that back in the 2000s. Now I got to have a freaking Seagate portable drive to expand my console's 1 terabyte memory space? What's all that damn space needed for? I was content with my 32 megabyte memory. Split screen co-op, remember those days? And looking at all those cute avatars, you know, on the memory card screen. Remember that? Y'all remember that? My favorite was Onimusha. Y'all remember Onimusha?
What did Onimusha do in his memory card when you looked at him on the memory card?
He was a whole ass polygonal man holding he had a rocket launcher or something. If you don't know what that game is, blame Capcom. They're way too busy remaking games with zombies than to be bothered with Simonosuke and his ancient samurai problems. But the term memory card is so forgotten. I think folks probably think I'm talking about something that plugs into a DSLR camera right now. I know this is a
Which
random
they still
rant.
Are.
Is that what they're... I mean, are DSLRs old too?
I'm looking at a DSLR right now. I only use it for this. Am I going to be the person that has to say that memory cards only transferred your save files so they didn't actually transfer the games?
How dare you encroach on my memory? All right? Don't mess with my memory banks here. Mark, what are you doing?
I mean,
this is what I remember. You're deleting memories from my brain now?
I mean... Akeem. Come on, Akeem. Like, I mean,
that's only got, like,
external hard drives are basically memory cards. I don't miss old memory cards. That's... I don't miss them. Like, they were tiny. There was, like, it was 8 megabytes. Or if you bought one of the off-brand.
But they were only for save files. What is happening on this podcast right now? Why are we pretending that they housed entire games? They didn't. What is happening? That said, I will say, even Jedi Survivor, you would think, okay, in Akeem's world, you know, back when everything was black and white, the entire world was, is before color was invented, he had his memory card, he could just take a game in a case and do that. You actually can't even do that. If you had a memory card for your PS5, you still couldn't do that for Jedi Survivor, because if you buy the physical game, it still has to download it because it's too big to fit on the CD. So they've already said, like, yeah, you'll put it in, but, like, it still has to download. Like, you don't get to just play because the game is just too big.
Yeah. So you're telling me and my friends would have to wait, like, a day for this to download on his PS5?
You're gonna be
doing some waiting for this game.
If your friend lives out in the countryside and he's got like dial up still, yes, you're probably gonna be waiting about a day, Akeem, to boot up and play Survivor.
Every one of Akeem's friends is that picture of that giant field next to that ocean, the giant cliff. And if you zoom in, there's that tiny house, and everyone's like, "This is where I want to live." That's where all of Akeem's friends live, and they don't
with
get internet.
Fancy PS5 with their fancy PS5, the most expensive thing in their house.
I'll tell you what,
they built themselves.
I'll tell you what, though, I do miss some of the animations in the old school memory cards. When you'd go and look at your save files, they had some really cool animations. You know, had like the Dynasty Warriors. One of the characters would be there, and he's just kind of like doing a little. I guess basically it's like a looped animation or whatnot.
Yeah, they all had like little chibi forms, and they would all like, and you'd go to your PS2 memory card, and you'd just see them all just kind of like pop up, and they'd be like, doo, 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 doo,
I'm not gonna lie,
you're like,
I would spend some time just looking at the animations periodically. Like, I would just
Star Online take a whole page of blocks? What is happening right now?
So ridiculous.
See, Mark, even you miss those days. See.
If you wanna, so on the DS, games did get saved and they took memory blocks. Maybe you're just confusing that with this.
Look, you're still poking holes in my memory. I don't like that, Mark. Quit poking holes in my memory here, okay? Jeez, poking holes in my memory like the clouds are poking holes. With the rains poking holes in the clouds over there.
Yeah, I'm also just noticing that my light went out, but oh well, I don't care.
It's okay.
You still look good.
The less the audience sees of you, the better, Mark.
I was talking about my backlight, you assholes. What the hell? The front lights are still working. God, man.
It's the chaos we bring when me and Mark are on a podcast together.
Add it to the podcast. Bullying? It's the podcast has got it all. I love you guys.
Oh my goodness.
Is this the part where I'm supposed to talk about Jedi Survivor? Yeah, I've actually played the video game.
Yeah, you've played a little bit. Tell us a little bit about, you know, Survivor.
If you like the first one, you'll like this one. I don't know what else to say.
That's Mark's opinion.
Like, it has. So this game does one really cool thing, which is, like, it doesn't do that, like, Cal Kestis has amnesia type thing. All of your, like, upgrades and stuff you had from the first one, like, you know, the faster climbing, double jump, all that stuff, like, those are all still there. You can still throw your lightsaber, all that. This one has just, like, more things, right, where you can... As you can see on the screen, but for the listeners, you know, you have stances in this game. So you have your single lightsaber, and then you have your dual, like Darth Maul, and then you have dual wielding lightsabers. You can only have two stances installed at a time. You have to go to the like, what are they called? The bonfires.
The meditation points.
to change your stance. But yeah, they did add some things in this game. Like one of the first planets you go to is called Koba. Or Koba, I don't know. And there's like, you can get like a mount there. And because the world, that place is so big, and all the mount does is like help you get from like one point to another faster. So like, it's not necessary, but it's like, they did add some stuff. But for the most part, if you liked the first game, you're going to like this game a lot. The only caveat I'm going to give this game is, yes, it's pretty. It's huge. The file size is enormous. We do touch on this in our review. And I'm going to also say that, like, you know, day one patches are a thing. The performance for this game on PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X is I'm gonna give that a thumbs down. The performance is not good. It's incredibly framey if you're playing in the performance mode, especially in the big areas like Koba and all that stuff.
If you're playing in performance mode, it's framey, or the resolution.
If you're playing
mode?
In performance mode, it is incredibly framey. You're never hitting 60, almost ever. Like, you go inside a building and you're like, whoa, I did it. I'm at 60 frames per second. The second you leave that building, you're done. You can lock it, of course, to quality mode, which is supposed to be like a locked 30 FPS. But, you know, my brain nowadays is just like so broken. To me, 30 FPS feels like 20 FPS. Like, it feels incredibly choppy. And then it has that because it's V-Sync is being enabled. It comes with a little bit of input lag, which we also talk about in our review, which is, yeah, if you're playing in performance mode, or not performance mode, in the quality mode, yeah, there's going to be a little bit of input lag because you're now enabling VSync, which in a game where, depending on your difficulty settings, has parry timing and all that stuff, it makes it something you have to get used to. Performance makes the combat a little bit smoother. You get less input lag, but it is framey as all hell. Yeah, there's supposed to be a day one patch. So this whole thing could be irrelevant. But if history tells us anything, when we get a game that's gone through cert and it's got a lot of performance issues, a day one patch isn't this like miracle cure that's going to fix everything. And by the time this comes out to release, this is just gonna be this like perfect game. I think this game's got a road ahead of it as far as performance goes, just like the first one did. And I'm sure that applies to maybe 5% of the people that are playing. 95% of the people are just gonna play this game, they're just gonna love every minute of it, so that's great.
Nice.
But yeah,
how are you liking the like the new enemy diversity? I mean the trailers have shown us a lot of new enemies we're fighting. How are those kind of stacking up?
I don't want to say too much, obviously, but there are some bigger enemies, some legendary enemies that are really, really tough in this game, even when you're playing on normal. There's a lot more droids in this game, but for the most part, I wouldn't say I've reached a point where I'm like, whoa, this is like super different than the first game. That said, I've only played, I don't know, I want to say like maybe 8 hours, because I'm balancing this with my wife's birthday weekend and with Burning Shores. So,
sure.
But yeah, at the beginning of this podcast, I said, you know, I'm playing two games. One that is just like this like game that runs beautifully and shows off what the PS5 can do, and it's tough. I think that's another reason why I'm feeling a little weird, is that Burning Shores, which is PS5 only, is just like, man, you boot it up and it's just beautiful, and the frame rate is just like perfect, and then you switch over to Jedi and you're just like, oh, it's so choppy, and like, you know, it's tough. But hopefully people are getting a better version than we did. We touch on it in our review, but it is that's the problem with working in this industry, right? Is it's really hard to get on a podcast or write in a review, this game runs like garbage. For one, it doesn't run like garbage. For two, we may be experiencing something that you may not be experiencing. Yep. So we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you said, day one patches aren't magical cure-all solutions. They will fix some things that may cascade and fix other things, but chances are there will still be a few things. So just be prepared for that with, you know, Fallen Survivor. God, why do I keep adding Fallen in there? Jedi Survivor's release.
What the third game's going to be called. You're spoiling
Fallen,
it right
I'm
now.
I'm spoiling it. Oh, no.
Well, no, it's going to be Fallen Order next is what the other one's going to be.
Fallen Order Surviving.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, you dropped my order.
Survivor's Orders Falling.
That's what the first game was called.
Fallen Surviving Orders. There we go.
Yes. There we go.
No creativity.
Survivor's Order Fallen.
We're just about out of time, but a couple things I do want to touch on real quick. We obviously had a Street Fighter VI showcase. I'm super hyped for it. They launched the demo, which has the world tour. You get a small taste of it. You also get to play some offline battles. You're only able to play as Luke or Ryu right now, or Ryu, however you want to pronounce it. I'm really enjoying the demo, just kind of beating up on the computers as well as my partner, because We just love to go throw hands in our household. That's just the way we do it with Street Fighter.
Speaking of 420, that stream was on 420 and it was hosted by Lil Wayne. So
it was a
couldn't have been better.
Did he know where he was?
No. Oh my gosh! Okay, you guys want to hear a funnier story? Sorry, Jada. I'm so
go
sorry. Okay, so I've actually met Lil Wayne, and yeah, it's great. So I go in to interview him for Ghost Recon Breakpoint, another another game he had like a partnership with. And I walk in, the interview's at 11, and they're like, okay, so he's here, but he may not come out right away. He may not come out for like an hour or two. And I'm like, an hour or two? The interview's in like 20 minutes. And they're like, well, if you can tell, he just lit up. And we have no control. And you could tell. I promise you could tell. And they're like, and we have, you know, when you're Lil Wayne, everybody works for you, right? Yeah. And so, like, you walk in and they're just like, he'll come out when he comes out. And to my surprise, he came out and like, he was like 10 minutes late to the interview, which was fine.
Okay.
Blazed all to hell in that interview. It was the most fun I've ever had interviewing a person. It was great because all we did was came up with fire teams using famous Waynes, so like Wayne Brady and stuff like that. He was really into it. It was great.
That's great.
It also helped that he was just incredibly high.
There's footage online for us to find, right? Because
IGN and just type Lil Wayne and you'll see me interviewing him. It's really great. Those are really fun interviews because he's just like, he doesn't even know who I am. It's awesome.
Awesome. Definitely go check it out. Other stuff with the Street Fighter, we saw the year one pass, which is going to have Aki, Rashid, Akuma, and Ed are going to be comprised of the first four characters, the four characters in the season one pass. So we've got some more characters already on the horizon for us. I'm just going to throw that in there as well. We got announced that Humanity, the PSVR2 game that looks just completely bonkers, is going to be joining the PS Plus catalog on May 16th, which is great. The Final Fantasy Pixel Remaster launch is out, and people are playing it now. I am loving it. I just finished Final Fantasy 1 with my Platinum over the weekend, so I'll be starting 2 this weekend.
Dude, can I just say, it is so expensive. I'll pay like 20 or 30 bucks for like the whole package. No, they're like $20 a piece.
Yeah, it's pricey.
That's ridiculous. I'm just gonna say, like, that is insanely expensive for old games.
Yep. Other little things, we got one more Diablo 4 final beta that's dropping next month from May 12th to 14th. I know me and Mark are very excited about that. Akeem, I don't know if you played any of the Diablo betas.
No, I haven't yet.
Definitely check this one out. I think you'll like it.
This one will be good because they're doing all the character like changes. Yep. Like Necromancer was incredibly OP in the other betas, and the Druid was incredibly underpowered. So they've gone through and made a lot of changes, and those changes will be implemented. So this is as close to the final game as you're probably going to get, which makes sense because it comes out like 2 weeks before the game comes out. So
yeah, it's great. And there's bunch of unlockables and stuff you can get for the full version if you do certain things like killing the world boss at level 20 in this upcoming beta, which is a lower limit than we got in the previous betas, but whatever.
Yeah, I think it was 25 before.
It was 25 in the previous ones. So, that's all the news we got. Obviously, Sony's at CinemaCon, but there'll be a bunch of news. You can check IGN for that about Craven and Gran Turismo and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. All that stuff's on IGN.com. Go and check that out. Thank you, Mark, for joining me and Akeem for our weekly The Best Podcast in the World that covers PlayStation stuff, at least. Thank you for joining us and sharing your great stories.
Yeah, and playing along, man. It got a little bit goofy for you, Mark, but hopefully, you know, it wasn't too goofy for you.
Well, the only thing that was missing was I watched Hello Tomorrow on Apple TV Plus. That show is really good, especially if you like Fallout. That's all I'm going to say because I know we're pressed for time.
We did forget our Apple TV stuff.
Apple TV Plus, the show is called Hello Tomorrow. It's really
great. Go watch it. Awesome. Well, and that's all the time we've got today. So thank you, everybody. And beyond.
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 Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.